Negative feedback is a part of life. It's also essential in helping us to identify our biggest opportunities for growth. In this episode, we discuss how to give and receive negative feedback and the role it plays in the social dimension of growth. I'm Sharif Yunus with Dr. Kevin Majors, and this is The Golden Hour. Our online masterclass will teach you all the skills you need to drive your own growth and progress in work and beyond. In this four-week masterclass available on OptimWork.com, Dr. Majors will guide you through all the key ideas of OptimWork, with exercises provided to help you master them. Now let's get started. Hey, this is Sharif here with another episode of The Golden Hour, joined by Dr. Kevin Majors. Kevin, good to be here with you again.
Hey, Sharif, it's great to be here back with you.
Yeah, Kevin. Well, I think we have a great episode planned that's getting to a topic that I'm very interested in. I think many of our listeners will be too, which is maybe more about the social dimension of growth. I think we kind of broadly fit into the personal growth space, but I think a big part of our theory is about the way growth is always ultimately social or involves other people. So, hopefully this general topic is something that interests you too, Kevin. But I thought maybe we could start with a question from a listener.
Go for it.
So let me just read it here for us. So here he says, "Yesterday, our wonderful managers sent out information from our monthly surveys of patients." So I guess this is a doctor or something. "I've always been fearful of looking at patient surveys and never look at them. I was told I got an average score of 4.8 out of 5.0, yet I can't bring myself to look at them. When I've looked at positive comments in the past, I forget them within minutes to hours, while the negative comments stay with me for years. What is a good way to handle this fear?" Okay, so very great question. Maybe something people who get feedback at work can all relate to.
Yeah, and this ties into very much what you were initially saying about the social dimension of growth. So feedback is an essential element of the social dimension of growth. And negative feedback in particular gives us more opportunities to grow than positive feedback. So it's natural that people want positive feedback at an emotional level because it is so reassuring to get positive feedback. You actually get a bit of not just relief from the possible threat, but you get a bit of dopamine surge too. That this is positive reinforcement. You know, when people say, "Oh, this was great. It changed my life. You know, thank you so much." All of that is just music to our ears. But at the same time, if that's all we were to get, we would start to stagnate. And handling the negative feedback, and I think one of the tricky things about negative feedback is you have to see if you can distill from it a positive direction of growth. Because the negative feedback doesn't always give you a positive direction. So many times you have to be the one to supply the positive direction. All the negative feedback does is it rings some kind of bell and says, pay attention to this, or pay attention, that in some ways asking for our attention. So that's like the big broad category, I would say, is that, why is it that negative feedback can last for a long time with us? And I say precisely because it actually is more important. That we humans are just built to take it in more deeply because it does give us more to work with. And so it's significant that, if we were to, if you could talk, evolutionarily, right? To say if we had eaten the wrong things and then we got sick, well, then we don't eat those things ever again. Or you say the wrong thing and you have deeply offend someone, you don't ever say that again. So we do learn quickly in social circumstances to avoid things that upset others. And then when it's clear that we've done something that's upset another, oh yeah, that learning does go really deep and we want it to.
That's right. So Kevin, let me just zoom out a little bit on this idea of negative versus positive feedback, because one thing that I've read a lot, I think Peter Drucker highlights this in terms of businesses and organizations, that you want to build off strengths rather than weaknesses. So for example, you as a psychiatrist, it wouldn't be all that helpful to get constant feedback, negative feedback that your handwriting is not great, or you're not very good at drawing or something. It's like, well, okay, I know you're not a professional artist, so it's not really helpful to point out that potential weakness of yours. So you want to build off the strengths that you have. So in some way, positive feedback is highlighting those strengths, and that shows you where you want to build off of in terms of your life, your career, how you're going to contribute to society. So earlier when you said that it's really negative feedback that helps, I just want to understand your thoughts on positive feedback and building off of strengths versus negative feedback and correcting weaknesses.
Yeah, that's a great question. Positive feedback might give us relief, and it might give us some sense of dopamine that we've arrived at something that's important. But if you always get the same positive feedback, even that wears off and provides neither any bounce of motivation to keep doing it, and doesn't provide you any additional relief. So it does tend to be that, yes, once you get the same kind of positive feedback enough times, it has to really be an outlier to make an impression. But negative feedback tends not to be that so much the case. There's something about negative feedback that always is going to give us a bit of adrenaline. And why is that? Well, because precisely this is where a challenge lies. And it's not just the fact of the negative feedback that's the challenge, but it's also whatever it was that originally gave rise to it, which maybe we don't have the clearest sense right now of what's behind this. What does this mean? How do I interpret it? But we could get adrenaline from it. And that always is a signal of increased growth potential and plasticity. So when we're facing challenges, we get adrenaline so that we can stretch ourselves in some kind of new and better level of performance. And so the negative feedback, I don't mean here that it is depressing things. I'm just saying it's something that we're not yet where we want to be. And we're getting some kind of feedback from our environment that we're not there yet. But that doesn't mean that we're not on the right path. It might just keep highlighting where we need to grow. But you can think of like a doctor, for instance. What kind of negative feedback might a doctor get? I recently had anonymous polling in my practice. And one of the things that someone pointed out is they weren't sure how much I knew about some detail in their history. And I would say, fair enough. Like I completely, that is partly the way I practice, that I'm not going to be going so much into people's past. But it also is a great reminder to me that I need to make sure that if there's anything that the person feels is important and somehow relevant, that they get a chance to tell me that at least. Is it something then that's a typical kind of feedback a doctor might get? People would wish that they had learned more about some aspect of their case or at least let them know that they knew. No, okay. There are other types of feedback I've gotten, which I felt was less helpful. And so sometimes you get that too from people, So I think you have to separate out, what in this is something that we genuinely can do better at. And then we need those reminders and we should be grateful for them. I think the more people get used to reframing the negative feedback in some as an like to uncover an opportunity to grow, and it might not be exactly what the person's telling you. It might be that there's something else that's actually the more the real way that you can see it. Perhaps you're more the expert in your own case, that you can see, okay, this is really what I need to grow in. Yeah, and so there, it's always helpful.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so now that we have the kind of background here, what advice would you give to this person who every time they get their patient surveys back, they're very hesitant to look at them because they don't want to see negative feedback, even though they know that overall, the feedback is quite good. So would you, I know one thing you often do is these exposures where people's read the thought that they're most scared of or most averse to and just read it over and over again and let it sink in. So maybe this person could read their patient surveys, find the worst criticism of them, and then just read it over and over again and just kind of habituate themselves to that. Would that be a good strategy?
That could be. But what I would say is more important is, one, if you're going to get exposed to negative feedback, it's better to get it earlier in the day. So to get it in the morning is much better than to get it right before you go to bed at night. So don't read any reviews of yourself, you know, except, you know, in the morning. And then make sure, because what improves over time as people work on taking negative feedback well is how long you have to be in an open, mindful state, letting the things, you know, kind of run through your mind before you equilibrate. You know, and at first, usually people like this, like the doctor that wrote this, they just don't have enough time to process the negative feedback. And so they don't let their head get around it. So they get the negative feedback and then they're running, they're doing so many things in their day because they're so busy. And then they are go until they go to bed, they lay down, and then they start thinking about it. You know, and that's really not the best time. What you want to be doing is have time to process, you know, and if you give yourself even, if you just set aside 5 minutes just to process it, that might be enough even the first time to like start thinking through, okay, what is here something I can be grateful for? Is there something in this that I can say, yes, this is actually true? That many times, even if negative feedback is harshly given, we can still in many times agree that, yes, that is something I need to work on. And then once you've accepted that what it is that you can work on, then I think it's important to form some kind of beginnings of a plan for how you want to grow in it. So that your mind goes from receiving the negative feedback and getting a jolt of adrenaline to then letting things settle a bit, start to then outline a program for how you want to grow. Yeah, so that you can start thinking of what you want to do along those lines. And if you can't see a way of growing that's real in this negative feedback, I think then you need to talk to someone about it. So not to get reassurance, but just to ask them, this is the kind of feedback I got, and what do you think is a way I could use this to somehow improve my practice? Yeah, and people can oftentimes help you to think through things. What you don't want to do is say, be looking for reassurance. Like, you know, we got this, someone said this about me today, and you're kind of going there just to tell the other person, they can say, oh, no, that's so unfair. That's not true. Yeah. And I think that reassurance is always really pleasing in the moment, but it doesn't make us more confident. It makes us less confident. You know, and we don't really need it. I think we can typically, once things settle in our mind, we can kind of see through the noise and say, okay, there's something real here for me to grow in, you know, or sometimes there's nothing here that's real for me to grow in. And, you know, sometimes you just have to shrug your shoulders and say, people are funny. So people, sometimes you just can't account for why they would do that or say that.
So it sounds like you're counseling us to see it kind of, dare I say it, very coldly and rationally. It's like, okay, you just have to, yeah, you got this feedback, but put your emotions to the side and just look at it objectively. What's true in it? What's false in it? Is that fully accounting for like how a person is going to respond? If you get negative feedback, it's often going to involve your emotions. There's going to be like maybe a wound there, or it kind of wounds you in some way, right? So I'm just wondering, is it realistic to suppose that people can just set all that aside and just say, just kind of do this cold, rational analysis of this feedback? And is that the ideal?
Yeah. I think the ideal is that we grow as much as possible from the feedback. But the emotions that are triggered by the feedback are almost always going to be defensive emotions. And if we stew on those emotions, they are going to completely forestall growth. So as long as our we're ruminating on things and getting our emotions there, you know, so like, let's say if a person were to respond to negative criticism with, crying and then giving into tears about it. Is there good in that response? Certainly what you don't want is for the person to keep ruminating about the wound and how hard it is and how painful it is. If the reaction is to seek out someone else, you know, that it shouldn't be just for the purpose of getting reassurance on the point. Now, that's not to say that we don't, in those times, sometimes just need a friendly face around, and that we don't need real bonds with others. But then I think we seek the bond more directly, you know, that we just want to, you know, be with people that we're close to, people that, you know, we're very, you know, in whatever way we have a very strong bond with. You know, and sometimes just talking to someone with whom we have a strong bond, even if it's not about the thing that's bothering us, it just helps our minds to get clear. You know, if it then happens that we talk about whatever the trigger was, and that this is something we're trying to right now work through, we might not do it with a way where we're needing a special response from the other person to, you know, to naysay whatever the advice was. Or one sign is, you know, when we go to others, if we have a script in our mind that we want them to say that would be the right thing, that's a sign that we're not approaching this conversation the right way.
But
many times that's what happens. If we go to people who receive some kind of negative feedback, we want to, like, you know, open up to someone else and kind of maybe complain about it. You know, it's like we really want this person to say the right thing, to tell us, oh, no, don't, whatever it is, we could script the right answer. Well, then it's not, I don't think it's going to be helpful to talk about it. No, but on the topic, so if you give in to the emotion that these negative things stir up, you will likely get caught in some kind of vicious cycle, you know, where the emotions themselves cloud your ability to see any path forward. Well, I think that's something where you could ask yourself then, what would be a more mindful way of receiving this negative feedback? So you cannot just ask, like, how can this bring out the best in me in terms of, you know, seeing how we would most want to grow? You can also just think, what is the most mindful way of being in the moment when I get the negative feedback? So I think that welcoming the discomfort that comes, accepting the emotions that get triggered, letting our minds get around the negative feedback and kind of get all of that, mindfully settling ourselves into it, will help actually. The danger is you see the feedback, you touch on it, you get burned by it, and you like flee. And then you don't let yourself really process it or think about it. So it's not just the seeing the way to grow, but it's actually feeling the pain of it too, so that can also acclimate, so that can run its course. But negative feedback, once we do that, it does provide more opportunities for new learning, you know, and for creativity and flexibility than purely positive feedback would.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And it seems like a common response when you get negative feedback is, I think you mentioned it, this defensiveness, that you just immediately start thinking of why this person is wrong, what they don't understand, and why you actually don't have this defect that they're pointing out, or something along those lines. But it's very helpful to, when you get the feedback, to identify what they're pointing out, but then also see how you can go deeper into it. So how you can be, we talk a lot about curiosity, how you can even be curious, and maybe they've pointed out that you have this issue and they've given you negative feedback about one particular thing, and then you can start to reflect on your actions in other areas and see, does this come up in other places too? And is there a deeper source of it? What's the root of the issue? So you've mentioned now reframing in terms of trying to see how you can see the negative feedback in a new light. You've mentioned mindfulness in terms of how to kind of accept the negative feedback and feel comfortable with the pain of it. So I gather that you also have some idea of what it would look like to challenge yourself with a negative feedback, reframing mindfulness challenge. What's your idea of how to really challenge yourself to grow the most from this feedback?
Yeah, it's like if a company were really interested in growing as much as they could, you know, and they have a really great product, but they can tell that they want to make it better, you know, and they're asking people to give them feedback. Well, whatever the things people would be pointing out to them, they wouldn't necessarily take every single piece of feedback, you know, as some kind of law that they now need to follow, but they would be looking for the trends, you know, and then seeking ways to then incorporate the feedback into some way. So if the company is actively challenging themselves to improve, they will eagerly incorporate the feedback, you know, and try to then give it the right kind of weight and see, okay, how can we use this for some creative growth within the company? You know, sometimes it's easier to see that in an organization where it's not about taking things personally. But it's the same thing for us. If we had this kind of entrepreneurial spirit about our own growth, and we're looking for ways to be actively challenging ourselves, you know, well, that's what the negative feedback is giving us a chance to do. And the very acceptance of it is the starting point. You know, and then seeing how can I use this instead of just like being challenged, you know, by this, that it somehow becomes a practical challenge that we are now incorporating into our life. That's why I say you have to make it into a real plan. The reframe gives us, in some sense, the ideal and the abstract, some way of quality you want to grow in. The real challenge is turning that into steps, turning it into a program of growth. You know, so, and that's what it would mean then to be actively challenging yourself. It's like you'd want to start incorporating it right away to say, okay, what is there anything I can change, you know, today and do differently right now? I think that if we try to make the challenge step as present as possible, like, okay, what can we do right now to start improving on this? We're going to more quickly get the positive feedback that comes from the new change, which is a wonderful thing. If something had been a liability for us and that now we turn it into a strength, maybe nothing really improves our confidence so much as knowing we can take something that seemed like a weakness and we can, by deliberately challenging ourselves in that area, we can come to turn that into a real strength. So that's what I would be, you know, looking for is how do you make the challenge real? How do you actively challenge yourself right now? Make a plan of it. That also helps to get it out of your head. So you're not just thinking about it more and more and more, you know, because it's not that we fix these things by just some kind of insight into how to grow. What addresses it is actually real growth itself. So that only comes by somehow making it real.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, what you're describing seems like an essential process to how a person grows over the course of their life, that they get feedback from other people because you don't always have an objective view of yourself, or you rarely do. So this seems like such a crucial process. Do you advise people, or do you ever just seek this out yourself, or is it always kind of a passive thing that you wait until you get negative feedback and then you respond to it in these ways? But how do you go out and kind of seek it, this feedback, in the most possible way? I mean, you don't just go to everyone close to you and say, hey, like, what's your least favorite thing about me? And then you just, like, that would be a little bit weird. But
in fact, negative feedback seeking is pretty clearly associated with depression.
Okay. So don't do that.
Okay. Yes. So it seems to me like to go out and seek, now it would, maybe that's just because so few people have such a robust growth mindset that they could actually withstand it. Yeah. So I think And people who are depressed will tend to elicit, in a sense, negative feedback from others. You know, that somehow they draw it out of people and then they believe it and they don't do anything good with it. They just use it as a way of summing up their traits and possibilities. Like, that's all I'll ever be. So in that sense, you could misuse negative feedback if you use it as some kind of, as if this is more true than anything else. You know, the idea is not that it's more true. In fact, not all negative feedback is true in any way, but that doesn't mean that doesn't somehow open up for us a new process of growth, because it gets us really curious about some aspect and we start to be more sensitive to certain issues of how we want to grow. So that's why in some, you know, even in, it's not about whether the feedback necessarily is that much more objective, because maybe it is, maybe it isn't. The question is, can we use it to really, to our advantage? And when people get good at using it to their advantage, then in fact, they find that they get more mileage out of it than when it's purely positive. But that's not the same thing as saying that this is the most true or objective. And it also means, I think that, yeah, seeking it out, there can be among like really trusted friends, a culture of openness to feedback like this. Yeah. And, but at the same time, I'm not sure that eliciting it from others is really the right way. I think normally what we want to do is internalize the research and development department of our own growth. Uh-huh. So that we're kind of internally trying to do it ourselves and looking for things. But then if others offer us something, we make use of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it seems to me that if negative feedback, this is so important to a person's growth, that you wouldn't want to just leave it to, say, a patient who maybe doesn't know you that well or doesn't know actually what your biggest opportunity for growth is. In some cases, maybe someone further away from you in a professional context might not even have your best interest in mind. So it seems like you would want to have channels open where you can get this kind of helpful feedback from the people who are closest to you, who know you the best, and who genuinely have your best interest in mind. They want to help you grow. So it seems like there has to be some room.
And I think when in those trusted sources, even then the negative feedback shouldn't necessarily feel negative. That they might be correcting you in something, but it should feel more like they're showing a positive area for you to grow in. You know, and so rather than, you know, saying that, you know, if I were to give someone, you know, feedback, you know, I don't know, you could say, you know, sometimes you're very rude, you know, when company's over or something, you could imagine a parent telling a teenage child, you know, that you're rude when company comes around. Well, would that be the best way of doing it? Or is this, you know, when company comes around, maybe it's a, maybe you could focus on showing like interest to them, you know, and spending just some time showing interest. I think it's always better, even if it's so quote unquote negative feedback, that you show it in some positive way. Like, what's the image you're talking about that you'd like to see more of? Because I think if in general with people, if you focus on what would be great to see more of, you'll tend to see more of it. And if you focus on the negative, you tend to see more of that. So like, there's something about it that, so I think, even in, you know, in our experience working as a company in Optimal Work, I think it was something we've always gravitated towards is pointing out the positive of how this is, you know, like this is something to, rather than pointing out something purely as negative. Yeah. And I think maybe that gets to what you were saying in the beginning about that the strengths are what we build on. There, it's like the more you can show a person here's a way you could challenge yourself that you know is meaningful to them, that taps into a deep ideal, you know, or yeah, that is some way to build a bond you know matters to them. Well, that's going to be much more effective than purely couching it in negative language or derogatory language.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey Kevin, we're basically out of time at this point. This has been a great great discussion so far. Super happy that we've been able to talk about these things. Do you have any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Maybe it's just an idea that we had talked about in the very beginning, the social dimension of growth. I think in all these things, when we're getting feedback of any kind, we have to ask ourselves, okay, as I'm listening, what am I seeking? You know, am I seeking to satisfy my own sense of, like, I don't know, need for approval, my own wanting greater confidence? Is it something about self-satisfaction here, you know, when I'm going into it? Or am I really wanting to transcend myself? And the ways we transcend ourselves are through growing in ideals that we don't yet have, that involves in us kind of transcending ourselves, and deepening in the bonds that, you know, that are present, building up bonds. So ultimately, all growth is in these things that do transcend us, and that allow us to, in fact, then turn whatever the challenge is into an opportunity for some deepening of growth. So self-actualization and self-transcendence in the end are the same thing. We don't become fully who we could be just by being satisfied, but we do it by transcending ourselves.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful idea. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Sharif. Thank you. Fun talk.
Okay, we'll be back next week. Well, thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to check out optimwork.com for a set of online tools to help you engage challenge in your life. See you next week.